Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
And I am Andrew Horowitz.
And we're only going to have three shows this month.
Right. Right.
And today is the first of them, and it's the 5th of October, 2021.
Mm-hmm. There we go. Lots of interesting things happening in the markets. And I got a lot of email from people that listen to the show. They're like, oh, looking forward to this week's show because you probably have a lot of material. So lots going on because markets have been volatile. There has been a lot of question as to what's going on. And it's if nothing else, if we could step back for a second, John, it seems to me it's like that. When once we get, you know, the cavalry to the rescue, Congress is going to solve the problem. It always ends up having this incredible volatility.
What, you mean during budget time or?
Budget time, major stimulus programs, bailouts, whatever. When they get in there, the problem is they can't just simply shut their mouths, do the work, and then have a centralized speaker. It's like almost, I feel like, until every single senator and congressperson goes in front of the camera to say what they think is going to happen with the stimulus program, we can't get a bill done.
Yeah, that's because they're just, grandstanding for their voters.
Yeah, it's gross. Well, we have, what word would I use to describe what some of the things I'm seeing right now? And it's bangarang. Remember that? Bangarang?
No, I do not remember Bangarang.
Bangarang. It was more like, let me think how it was done. Let me get in the moment.
When did that come out?
That was Robin Williams in the movie Hook, which was a Peter Pan story.
Avoidable movie. I missed it.
Oh, it was a good movie. I liked it. Peter Pan story. It's one of those movies that you watch late night just to kind of keep your interest until such time that you doze off.
In other words, it's a movie that puts you to sleep.
Kind of. Bangarang! That was his rallying call to get his other friend that was actually the Peter Pan to kind of wake up. Anyway, lots of excitement kind of things happening. Here's what's going on. While OPEC got their way, oil prices are on the move, calls for a move, now to 100 for per barrel.
Yeah. Yep.
I've heard 200, actually. But right now we are...
That'll be the day.
Well, we broke 80 on Brent. We're in 75, 76 territory on WTI crude. Kind of amazing. So I don't know if you've heard, if you've been listening, but remember last week we talked about how one of the things you're going to start hearing, and you got to keep your eyes and ears open for this, is the perfect storm narrative. Have you been hearing any of this? Because I have been all over the place hearing this.
Well, the problem I have with the perfect storm narrative is that I hear it all the time about one thing or another.
Oh.
So I don't know which one you're talking about, but.
That's the financial markets with China and oil prices and inflation and the Fed and the stimulus program.
Shortages. Don't forget, it's a perfect storm about shortages. No more toilet paper. By the way, computer printer paper is targeted.
Targeted by who?
The pundits. I don't know.
What do you mean? You can't get this? It's a thing?
I think that you're going to, if there's planned shortages is my theme. And compute, I'm telling people right now, just for your own good, get a couple extra reams of computer printer paper.
Maybe there's some twisted people that are backing up their toilet paper with computer paper just in case.
Well, if you crumple it enough, it's possible.
Yeah, maybe you kind of put it under some water or something.
Yeah, get soggy.
But we have some commentary tonight on the taper. That's another thing that's going on right now. Conversations from all sorts of sides of the Fed and CNBC and Bloomberg about the taper. When they're going to start, when they're going to finish, what they're going to do with the taper. So I actually heard something just this morning from one of the Fed speakers, one of the ones that's now being under investigation. But I heard him say something and it really dawned on me what he was talking about, because it's unbelievable if you really break it down what I think they are saying.
Okay.
Underneath what they're saying. So we'll talk about that. Amazon's working on a smart fridge. Facebook goes down for about 6 hours yesterday amongst a very inopportune time when there is congressional discourse from a whistleblower. And you have to wonder if the emperor's new clothes is playing out here. We have a new close to the pin announcement. Another bangarang. We have a Merck COVID treatment pill. 50% effectiveness after you, I think it's after you get, what is it, after you get the positive COVID diagnosis and you're in the hospital, there's 50% chance you won't die. Something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I find, I found some of the study that I, you know, if you're like, oh, well, 50%, there's 14 people, 50 or whatever it was. It was not that many people. 50% of the people didn't die and 50% did. And I just didn't really understand how that small of a universe gets everybody so jacked up.
Yeah. Well, it's a $700 treatment. And so they shove aside their 50-cent treatment, which was ivermectin, which has a lot of research into. Yeah, Merck was there. Is the ivermectin people? Huh. Yeah, yeah.
Maybe what this is ivermectin.
It's public, it's public domain, so everybody can make it. But Merck is the one who owned it.
Right.
But it's only a 10-cent pill now. So, you know, who? Yeah, forget it. We don't want that. It's no good.
This world is so.
And I mean, it's pretty transparent to most observers that they're in, that these companies are wisely in it for the money.
Yeah, no
hell
question
with
about
public
that.
Health.
Right. And that's the same thing that's going on with Facebook and why that woman came forward. I watched some of her testimony. Now, whether she's right or wrong, lying or telling the truth or but, you know,
I think she's probably telling the truth. But I can't get there's another thing I can't get worked up about. You know, these poor teenage girls, as if they've never had any mishaps in their entire life. And Instagram is ruining it for them. And all this hidden research that shows that the Facebook people want to make money. Oh my God, we can't have that. Right. It's a socialist society now. We can't be wanting to make money by finding out that they're keeping people on the site. And by the way, I'm writing this up for the Substack. I've written for so many big giant media companies in the early days of the internet that would not allow you to put a link inside the article to link to something. Like you're trying to prove a point. Here's a link. Here's the proof. No. You can't link outside of our site. It's so important that you stay on the site.
Right.
And this is like standard operating procedure. So now it's a big scandal because Facebook is doing it.
And back also in the day, there was a lot of use of some very colorful headlines for clickbait/eyeballs.
They still are.
But that was all about the idea of getting people to look at what's happening, whether or not the story matched the, you know, the cuffs matched the collar. It didn't matter.
No, right? It never did.
Never mattered. Doesn't matter. Markets, an update. Markets up and down 500 points on a daily basis, it seems. Friday up 500 points.
Daily basis.
Monday, it's down 500 points.
It's down. Today, it's up, it's down. It's all out of control.
Yep. And we're on pins and needles on China's property sector as Evergrande is bringing down the entire sector. It looks to me like the government is doing a hell of a job of what short sellers usually do to bring down something, to step in to just clean up and eat the carcass.
Well, if you're a big government that can pull this stunt off instead of a normal capitalistic system where the short sellers would make out, buy in after the thing was nearly collapsed or just let it die. Why wouldn't you do that? It's just a good way to fill up your coffers.
It seems to me that if we are beginning already to see that state companies, state-backed banks and companies in China are going to be buying pieces of the now relatively bankrupt companies, that this is such a plan that looks pretty good. I like it.
Yeah, I can't argue with success.
Yep. Seeing lots more of supply side issues. Prices are escalating, putting the brakes potentially on the economy. Even the Fed speakers who are like, well, now we didn't see that coming. By the way, I'm going to say this for the umpteenth time. The Fed never sees anything coming. All they do is cheerlead and try to boost confidence. All you have to do to look back. Now, I don't expect them to have known anything about COVID or that. Forget that. That's off the table. Okay. But look back to 2006. Look back to 2007. When we all were looking at each other going, it seems there's a little problem in the housing market. And we didn't even know the depths of it.
Yeah, you're totally right. Because everybody was abuzz about what was going on in the housing market.
And not one warning from the Fed.
No. And you're right. Everybody was abuzz and nobody knew it was going to be as bad as it was. But they were talking about it, except for the Fed.
Exactly. So this whole supply issue and the supply side, and if they were really good economists and if they really had their finger on the pulse and they understood the dynamics of what was going on, because they have data from places outside the U.S., and you look at some of the things that are going on, like in China, in Vietnam, and where you're seeing that there is shutdowns of factories and the flow of the finished good to get to where it is. And then on top of it, the lack of workers in the ports, the truck drivers that just cannot take the cargo containers if they were to land at a port. And you wonder why it looks like there's a major demand issue where there's all this demand going on. But in fact, it's a combination of, yes, demand, but more so supply and logistical issues that are causing massive problems. It's not as clear as what you would think it is. You know, somebody in the chat room talked about, hey, this whole thing about, wow, the cargo ships in California is 85 ships off of California. It's not necessarily about the fact that there's all this demand. They just can't offload it. So, well, big problems. So I'm glad you're here, by the way. I was a little concerned. I was almost happy to say that if you didn't show up, you were the guy in California that won the Powerball.
I wish.
Big money was a single ticket in the Golden State, California, matched all six numbers drawn Monday night to land the game's $699 million jackpot. Been accumulating since early June when a ticket sold in Florida for $286 million.
Yeah, this is the new record. We're number one.
Unbelievable. And the thing is, you don't have a lottery tax. So where in New York, there's a lottery tax, like 10%.
Oh, yeah. Well, you still have to pay federal income tax on the thing, but you don't have to pay the bonus tax. That's true.
So this party, after all is said and done, and before the lawyers whack them, and before every possible 23andMe relative pops out of the woodwork, before that, they're going to get about $350, $375 million net.
Yeah.
Nice. And after that, there's going to be a lot more visit from the relatives and people who just magically need, you know, $1 million loan.
Yeah, they're going to get, there could be a nightmare.
Ridiculous.
That's why some people have, when they've won anything over, you know, million, 10 million, whatever, they stay anonymous.
And
we had a winner in California recently that won something like one of our local lotteries. I think they won like $40 million, and they just were anonymous. So no one ever figured out who it was.
I mean, they also, a lot of them go right to their attorneys that specialize in this kind of stuff and to make sure that they are protected.
Oh, yeah.
Because the next thing you want to do, I don't know about you. If I knew who it was, I'd follow them. I'd get in my car and I'd crash into them. Roll out of the car with right?
Oh, my neck, my back.
Right. Or just drive right in front of them and just jam on the brakes.
Yeah. I saw a dog in the road.
Yeah. Terrible. Terrible. Yeah. How could that be? You know what? Let's settle this outside the courtroom. You know what? You just give me $1 million, walk away. Evergrande, this is the Chinese, the behemoth of, actually number two company in China in the property business. In development, who was allowed to take on incredible amounts of debt. There was a lot of drama in the discussions of what was going to happen and the announcements and press conferences this week. And they're pulling down shares of other property developers in China. It's a real problem because while they're down 80%, there is one company that's really solid and solvent that's up 40% this year. But the rest of the companies are getting whacked. Their debt is a problem. They can't issue anymore. High costs. Trading has been halted for the last couple of days, awaiting some kind of announcement. They sold off a piece of it. There are investors that are at these meetings trying to garner information. There was one woman who pulled a knife out and said if she loses her money, she's going to kill herself right here, right now.
Sounds more Japanese than Chinese.
Yeah, it was a butter knife, for God's sakes.
A butter knife.
It wasn't a big knife. But fortunately, she didn't, as far as I know, she didn't kill herself. So they're going to sell some of their property services unit to estate-owned enterprises and get some cash in. And things are, the hope is that the government's hope is that they don't want to step in. They don't want to step in and it seem like the government's bailing out all these really rich people that went too far on the debt side, you know?
Yeah, well, because they've been turning into speculators in China, which is not a good thing.
Yeah. Economic report seems to be a background noise right now. Like nobody's really, I don't think, paying attention. We saw ISM services today pick up, which was good. Recent consumer confidence has been down, kind of a mixed bag overall. Retail sales were down, factory orders up. But I think new investors don't really worry about any of this. Right, they're not looking at the big picture of economics as a driver for stock market returns because it hasn't been that necessarily for the last 10, 15 years. It's all about price.
Yeah, this is true.
And you know, keep the price moving up. Keep adding money. If market's good, just keep adding money. If markets fall, keep adding money because governments will step in and provide support. So basic investing 101 is there is no such thing as a sell button. It doesn't just disable it. Doesn't matter. And disable the sell button.
I'm pushing it, but nothing's happening.
Yeah, nothing's happening.
Don't worry about it.
Don't worry. Yep, it'll be fine. You know what? And take a long enough time horizon. There is some truth to that. You know, there is some truth to the fact that you take a long enough time horizon, risk dissipates. You know?
Yeah, well, there is some truth to it, in it.
You know, when this other thing is, just get back to this Merck, this experimental antiviral pill, which I don't know a lot about. You probably talked about it on No Agenda. No Agenda, Thursdays and Sundays, Adam Curry and John C. Dvorak, 12 in the afternoon, live, 12 to usually about 3, and they spend a lot of time doing their research, debunking a lot of the M5M, the media out there. And, of course, love to hear the jingle with John's 3x3. Why don't you tell them what the 3x3
is? On Thursday.
Tell them what that is.
Well, on Thursday, since I get up, every time I get up, I can go, and Thursday is a weekday, I get up a little early and I watch ABC, NBC, and CBS's morning shows to see what they're talking about, and so I can sit there and ridicule them. And it's always a good segment.
But you found a pattern. You found something that's going on where it seems that there's a lot of I guess it's advertising, but it's native advertising.
Yeah, it's ABC doing most of it, although everybody's doing it. They do native, more than native advertising. It's actually kind of, they do literal offerings on the show where they show products and they tell you can go here and click on the barcode that's on the screen and you can go buy the product. They get a piece of the action, I guess. They must.
But they don't disclose anything?
Sorry?
They don't disclose they're making money on it?
No, I don't think they do.
Huh.
When they're obviously making money on it, why would they be doing it?
CNBC started doing this. Jim Cramer.
They're all doing it. Here's the reason. They're losing. Their advertisers are going and advertising on Facebook.
Yeah.
They're losing advertisers. This is the problem. Yeah, Cramer's doing it.
Did you see what Cramer's doing? I mean, there is an all-out full-court press on this new product they have. It's a Cramer newsletter. He left TheStreet.com, which he founded many years ago, and he's starting the, I don't know what it's called, the CNBC newsletter.
Using the same, I think he's same doing model. The same model. Same and he's got model. Some twists.
Yeah. Right, but he must have done something in his contract just to put that in
there.
I think
he sold his stock in TheStreet.
Yeah, it wasn't worth very much.
A lot of the guys that were at MarketWatch before the Wall Street Journal bought them, when it was CBS Market Watch. I worked there at the time.
Went to the street?
They went to the street. They were actually, they went to USA Today, a couple of them, and then the other ones floated around. Then, whoop, they went back to, now the street, which was a competitor with Market Watch. I thought that was odd.
Yeah, I mean, but the thing is, it was so pronounced for like 3 days. Oh, Jim, we heard you got a new newsletter. Wow, tell everybody about it. And and they used a...
He's shameless, that guy.
Yeah, he used a QR code on the TV.
QR code.
You know, yeah. They're all like, oh my God, what? Look at that. It's right on the screen. People do, go. Everybody go over there and put your phone up to it. Let's see what happens. Seriously, am I kidding? That's how it was.
Yeah, no, they do that on the morning shows too. They tell people to get, I mean, you can give people, they do say a website, which you can memorize, is not that hard, but they want everyone to get involved by getting their phones out, which I assume everyone just has with them all the time,
yeah,
in their hand. And then they shoot their little QR code and it puts their phone over to the website. It's dumb.
The only button that I've ever seen that people get true happiness and satisfaction from is the donate button on dhunplug.com.
They should, because it's good for you to donate to the show.
Yep. And actually, we had a lot of nice people that sent in some beautiful notes this week. I always respond to everybody's, and John sees these notes as well. And, you know, it was nice stuff there, and thank you so much. So anybody that does have a desire and wants to see the differential between holding your phone up versus clicking something directly, just go over to DH Unplugged, click on the yellow button that says donate. There you go. You know, one of the things I want to mention back to this COVID discussion and this experimental antiviral pill that Merck is having out, that has out, it's 50% effectiveness, which back when we were getting the data from the vaccines, 50% didn't cut it, right? But now all of a sudden, I guess that's good. I think they're going to be ending their phase 3. They're going to be looking for emergency use authorization. What it did, though, was BioNTech, which is the Pfizer company, and Moderna got absolutely blasted on this news.
Oh, yeah. Interesting. I mean,
we're talking about like 20%. Novavax down like 25% at one point on whenever the announcement was last Friday. Because now everybody's like, oh, so maybe I don't need the booster. Maybe I don't need the vaccine.
I got a treatment. If I have a treatment, why would I get the booster?
Right.
Because I didn't use it. And a lot of people had troubles with those shots, especially the Pfizer shot. They got sick. Some were out of work for a couple of weeks.
Can I just throw this at you for a second? If anti-vaccine people are all shot up, no pun there, all shot up about this pill, what's the difference? They just don't like the vaccine, but they can take a pill that's experimental. That's fine. I mean, seriously. And because that's before, if I didn't say that, it would be, when I heard about the pill, I'm like, oh, that's good. A lot more people will take that and do the treatment because they don't want the vaccine. I'm thinking, wait a second. What's the difference? A vaccine is something that they put a shot in, which could be something bad, but if you ingest it orally, it doesn't have to be. In fact, for all you people that are anti-vaxxers because you don't want the chips, a lot more room in a pill for a chip that Bill Gates put in than there is in a vaccine.
I think the difference is, and you have to accept the notion that some people just don't like to get an injection.
Is that what it is? They're afraid of the injection?
Well, I think injections are more problematic than taking a pill. I mean, if you had to inject aspirin every time you had a headache, I think it would do popularity be way off.
I guess so. But if you had some kind of one of those, those shots you just like slam on your leg, you know what I'm talking about? You just like, no. I think they use it for anaphylactic shock where you just pop it on your leg and it's a little pin that goes in, boom, done. It's boom, boom. Versus, you know, roll it up the sleeve and then touch the thing and then doing the thing. It's, but I don't know, maybe that is the case. I mean, the fact of the matter is that I wonder if this pill, which was a treatment, came out in a vaccine formula, well, not a vaccine, in a injection formula, if people would be like that shot, you know, that excited about it.
Well, they got pretty excited about that stuff that you need have to have a blood transfusion for it to work.
Right, the platelets?
Yeah, that stuff. And everyone was all jacked up thinking that's the greatest thing ever. So you never know. It's just the way it's presented. I think it has a lot to do with it. People just don't trust.
And these are people that all got vaccines as youngsters.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Amazon, let's change subjects because I'm so sick of this. It's the stupidity of all of it. It's just the whole thing. Just everything about it. It's enough to make you just want to throw in the towel and say, like, I give up on humans. You know, I mean, just from every angle, you know?
Yeah.
Amazon smart fridge. Amazon is reportedly aiming to bring some of its tech used in the cashierless Amazon Go stores to your kitchen. According to Insider, which I don't really like this. I don't really like them, but nonetheless, the company.
No, they're pretty fun. Yeah, I don't trust them either.
It's all about the headlines, all about the clicks. The company has been working. Don't forget, he was also barred from the security industry, Henry Blodgett, for doing some also funky stuff back in the 2000s, early 2000s.
This is correct.
Yep. The company has been working on a smart fridge that can monitor items and help you order replacements if you're running low on something. And I started thinking about this. Well, that's cool. That's so cool. It's so wow. So I'm thinking
this is like goes back to the 70s and 80s with the old refrigerator that can tell you when you need milk and it orders it for you.
But how many times do you have things that are repeatable orders? Like, for example, are you always going to get the same pickles, always the same milk, always the same butter, always the same eggs?
Seldom.
What if I'm like, apples are out? Well, that's good because not apple season. I'm going to get some plums. You know, I mean, I don't understand how many things are repeatable. Maybe ketchup is running out or running low somehow. It could tell. I don't know how. Maybe
I think milk is the only, and butter maybe. That's about the only two.
Maybe soda of some sort.
No, unless you're boring, you want to just keep drinking the same exact same soda.
Right. I that's what I'm saying. The whole thing was bizarre. Like, I don't understand. You know, it's going to get boring if you get the same thing over and over.
Well, then maybe the people that came up with these ideas themselves are incredibly boring.
Yeah, maybe they just get the
They're
same
boring frozen people. And they said, I think this is a great idea because they expect everyone else to be as boring as they are when they develop these notions. Nah.
Yeah. So I just can't see how this is going to work. I don't understand the benefit. I'd much rather see someone finally turn the ice and the water on the door into a soda fountain. That seems like a much better idea to me.
Well, you know, Jetstream might be interested in that. You just have just a little space inside the door for a carbon dioxide bottle.
Yeah.
And you can have SodaStream in the door built in.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd be game for that.
Yeah. It makes all the sense in the world to me, you know, clean out some of the crap that's in there that you don't need anyway. Oil hits a 3-year high. Brent crude futures 3-year high on Tuesday. U.S. benchmark crude oil closes up to the 2014 peaks.
I predicted in the last show this would happen.
Yes, and this after the OPEC Plus group of producers decided to stick with the planned output rather than pumping even more. So it looks to me, because we don't need all this fuel, we have more energy-efficient cars on the road, less cars on the road, less planes in the air, less boats, you know, all that, okay? And then on top of it—
Makes no sense.
No sense at all, less usage, and— the only thing that I could discern from this is that OPEC and the countries involved are trying to get back at the markets and consumers after the massive pain that they got from the COVID lockdowns. Payback.
Yes. That would be one way of looking at it. I think that's probably true.
Yeah. Bitcoin and cryptos. Well, we saw today, this morning, Bitcoin move back above 50,000. Let's do a quick check on where Bitcoin is right now. As you cough it out, $51,061. Ethereum hit 3,500. Now backed off a little bit to 3,486. And things are kind of cruising and bruising right now in the area of Bitcoin. So I guess the reasons, maybe Elon Musk sat there and so eloquently said, I just don't see any reason for regulation. So I don't know about that. Gary Gensler, regulation talk, but no, we're going on that. Jamie Dimon, he said, looks like fool's gold to him.
Yeah, well,
I don't know. What do you
he's
think?
He's probably right, but fool's gold is worth something.
Yeah. But what do you think is going on with this? It's been a really, really quick move out of nowhere.
I say this every time you bring something like this up. You're talking to the wrong guy.
Ah.
I don't follow it. I don't care about it. I didn't get my Bitcoins when they were 25 cents, which they were at one point.
You own some Bitcoin. You behind the scenes own some Bitcoin, by the way. I have some in storage for you. Seriously.
Yeah, great. So
that's the truth. That's the truth.
I believe there's some Bitcoin floating around.
Yep.
But I don't follow it. I think it's going to collapse eventually, and it's going to leave a lot of people disappointed. I appreciate people who got in early and they made their money. A lot of them got out. A lot of them still in. We'll see.
Yeah.
But since I missed it from 25 cents to like even 10 bucks would have been a good idea.
Yeah, that would have been nice.
Too late.
Yep. Well, I think what's happening actually is the realization, or at least the belief that possibly the global economy is on the brink of something. It's teetering on the edge of.
Yeah, my wife says to me today, hey, what are you going to do? I said, I'm preparing. What are you doing? I'm preparing for Horowitz. She says, everybody says that the global economy is going to collapse next year. What do you think of that? She says, And you know, when I hear the public saying stuff, and she's the public, when I hear the public saying stuff like that, that means it's probably not going to collapse.
Well, I think though that, you know, right now there was a lot of momentum. There was a lot of let's reopen and open up and get the hell out. And a lot of people, including myself, you know, there was a moment that I'm like, I was batting down the hatches during COVID. Then I'm like, let's go, you know, and bought a bunch of stuff and had a lot of fun. And then you're in, all right, you know, let's settle back to normality. And I think that's happening to a lot of people. I don't think I don't think I'm in the minority.
Yeah, I'm sure you're never in the minority, but I would advise people to take a look at the 1917 to 1919 markets and look right on top of the pandemic, the whatever it was.
Spanish flu, yeah.
And look at what the markets did. When the Spanish flu hit its peak, the market started to rocket. And then by the time the Spanish flu was completely over, which took 2 years, which is going to take the same thing, the market was skyrocketing. Mm-hmm. So when the thing's over, which will be the middle of, not the middle, but probably around April, May of 2022, the market will be skyrocketing if we have the same mechanism at play. So I don't know. Maybe a collapse after that, maybe next October. I don't, it's hard to say.
Well, I think, you know, the question is now also, do we have this whole roaring 20s, which was supposedly part of the reopening concept after the 1918, you know, situation.
Right. It was also after a war. You can't leave the war out. And you have to remember there was also a massive crash in 23.
Right. So
it wasn't a 29 crash, but it was a big one. It was a whopper.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting where you have a lot of things that coalesced. And this time, like we've been talking about, we're talking about trillions and trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars that have been pumped into various parts of the economy that took a while and will take a while to trickle down. But I mean, those transfer payments in the form of just absolute dollars directly being deposited in people's accounts, stimulus checks, PPP programs, and the like. Restaurants, Scott, I was at the lunch this weekend with somebody from a restaurant. I'm like, how's things going? And he says to me, well, you know, we had a tough time during the kind of the low part, of course, during COVID, but we made things, you know, ends meet. We had people that would pick up at the curb and, you know, things did okay. And then things picked up. We're kind of back, you know, it's hit or miss depending on the week, the month, whatever. But we also got like $325,000 worth of PPP program.
Nice.
And I'm like, well, how is that in relation? He goes, it's fine. It's good. You know? So there was a lot of money that came out that's what really pumped money in. And it was during a normal situation where you're out of a job, something happens terrible to you. You make ends meet. You do what you got to do, right? This was one of those times, but then all of a sudden, manna from heaven was descended upon us.
Yeah, nobody had to make ends meet. Yep. Free money.
Right. Yep.
Which does not correspond, just to go back to my earlier point, does not correspond with the 1917 to 1919 market. There was nothing like that.
So you think that
there are differences.
Yeah, exactly. We saw some earnings come out. This has been an interesting situation with earnings. It was some tonight again. And we saw this with Nike. We saw this with I believe it was Walmart. We've seen this around where we're having companies that are coming in and doing well. PepsiCo announced revenue forecast for the full year is going to do better than they expected, and they said that earnings are going to do well too. All the metrics look really well across the board in terms of various segments of their business, and the reopening and the boost demand of sodas and snack division, things are looking good. They sold off Tropicana. However, one of the things that was a sticky point was that their net attributable income fell about 3%. So the PepsiCo division and the drinks, we'll call it for a second, as well as some of the other divisions, but the net income basically fell 3% to $2.22 billion, due in part to higher distribution costs as it grappled with rising raw material prices and global supply chain disruptions, which have pressured profit margins at packaged food companies this year. So once again, we're seeing that there is a significant amount of stress that's being put on companies due to the fact that there is higher input costs overall. So again, it's not the demand issue that's really causing a problem. It's part of the supply issue as well as the manufacturing, which is thereby going to do only one thing. It's going to drive prices up, right?
That would be my guess.
Yeah, so it's going to keep on driving prices up. And prices go up, what happens? The prices have to go up more because you just kind of, it's a big circular calculation. So
I'm with you on this one.
Yep.
And which, of course, should be reflected in the inflation rates, which it doesn't seem to be.
Yeah. Well, that's because we...
Everything's temporary.
Everything is transitory. Everything is temporary. And even they are now saying that they're maybe a little bit longer. I mean, Janet Yellen was all on board the transitory, but she's talking about that. She also talked about yesterday, she made an announcement, said, listen, and she's looking more, I hate to say this, so forgive me, but she's looking more and more like a South Park figure every time I see her. You know South Park, the cartoon?
Oh, yeah, I know exactly what you're saying.
She said that if the...
It's because of her round head.
It's very round. And she has a hairdo, a cut that is...
It looks like South Park.
It doesn't help to square up her head at all.
And then she has a voice that doesn't work.
Yeah. So what's interesting is... and by the way, on supply chain, my wife went to... This is anecdotal. She went to Walmart. She says, hey, I'm going to go buy some chicken and all that. And I have some disturbing chicken discussion that we should probably have one of these days about a new thing going on with chicken.
What?
So I guess over the years, they've been pumping chickens with all this fast growth hormone stuff. And do you buy chicken breasts?
You know, first of all, let me just preface what I'm going to say with, I don't like chicken.
Okay.
And I rarely would buy chicken breasts. And if I do cook chicken for other people, I usually buy the thighs because I think the breasts they're boring.
Yeah, I mean, there's different places that we go, but basically she says, I'm stopping in. They usually have a good selection of that low-end basic stuff, you know what I mean?
And, yeah, cheap chicken.
So I said to her, what a story I read last week was they pump these chickens so much full of hormones that they now is breeding the chicken should take, I'm just going to take a time period, 2 months to grow, let's say, or 3 months to grow, whatever it is, right, into a chicken that should be whatever needs to be used. They grow in like half the time with these hormones.
Yeah.
And what's happened is if you look at your chicken, everybody listening, I apologize in advance. But if you look at the chicken breast that's raw and you start seeing and noticing, which I had like a year ago, these white striations in it, just these white lines in it. It's called something, and I don't remember the name. Basically, it's excess fat that's inside the breast that is due to the fast growth process.
Well, at least it would give the breast some moisture, perhaps.
I don't know. The problem is that I have found those to be tougher. I've noticed lately that some of these almost have like a, I'll call it like a grain versus, I don't know. I don't know. It's
why
not
just buy organic, yeah, which won't that. Have that's, these
that's
issues.
Doing. Yep. That's what I'm doing. Yep. 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 That's what I'm doing. So Tesla. Other companies are shutting down, they're shutting down their factories because they can't get any of these chips and they're having problems chips. And all sorts of problems there. Tesla's cranking them out. Tesla delivered 241,000 electric vehicles during the third quarter of 2021, which was up more than anticipated. Analysts predicted they would do about 220, so they were nicely over that level. Meanwhile, U.S. vehicle sales have dropped off to the lowest level since April 2020. A little chart here that I found. So this is the monthly, and this is compressed back to 76. So that giant spike down that we see, that was, of course, COVID. 0.75, 750,000 cars per month being sold as sales. Then we got back up to normal levels, about 1.5 million per month. And here and there, we saw some big spikes, you know, throughout the years. But basically, this move really is primarily due to supply issues rather than demand. That's what's different about this.
You're talking about the current downturn.
Yeah. It's all supply. Yeah. Can't get them. That's why used prices.
That's interesting.
That's why used car prices are pretty good. Big news in the space race. William Shatner is scheduled to launch on the next crewed spacecraft of Jeff Bezos' Blue Origin. Launch is planned for October 12th. Doesn't he need to get in shape? He looked a little bit large last time I saw him.
Well, he's pretty old.
He's old also. How old is he?
I don't think he should go.
Let's
look at him up. Let's see how old he is.
Shatner age. He's 90. I didn't know.
You're going to kill him. This is not good. Bezos is going to be blamed for this.
I mean, why don't you just take Betty White up? Is she still alive?
Yes, she is.
She's 99. Yeah, she's 99 years old.
Yeah, she's really a trooper.
Unbelievable. Huh. But, yeah.
Shatner 90 is headed to space on Jeff Bezos Blue.
I think that at the last moment, there's going to be something. It's going to be
a doctor will tell me can't go.
Yeah. The launch is planned for October 12th. This could be also like a weird April Fool's or something.
This could be a promotion publicity stunt.
It looks like it to me. I mean, this seems like, you know, well, on the other hand, what if he is, if he's just a passenger? What's wrong with that? It's a 15, 20 minute, half hour flight, whatever it is.
No, the Jeff Bezos' thing, was that the one that went into orbit?
He went
into, that was just an up and down.
He was an up and down. That was, the other one was SpaceX with
SpaceX went right. to orbit. So he went without Elon.
Right. Virgin Galactic was the first one. They went up 50 miles.
The other one, they both were up and down. So yeah. It's just a roller coaster,
yeah, right? Right.
It's a lot of stress on the body to go into space, to go in and then become weightless and then come crashing back. Then again, he says maybe this is the way to do it.
Can you imagine if they just do a entire, all the language, all the everything is all Star Trek, like, you know, you have the comm, and you know, just everything that he does.
Well, if they can make a tricorder, which Bezos probably could do, maybe it would be okay.
So this is going to happen on the 12th. Supposedly, there's a bunch of other people going up
the
as well.
12th of this month, like
October 12th.
Week?
Yeah, the next week.
No, oh, please.
Yeah,
this is something. This is worth betting on.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Well, which we you're taking the under, right?
Yes, I'm taking the under.
I mean, would be great for he and was Uhura? What was the one that was halfway in love with?
Uhura.
Uhura had that Q-tip that was
Michelle Nichols was the actress.
She had like that big Q-tip that was always sticking out of her ear.
Yeah, of course.
Interesting stat. Just 0.1%. This is pretty fascinating. 0.1%. Of mortgage loans issued this year are tied to adjustable rates.
Well, why would anybody do that this time with the rates being what they are?
Right. Yeah. Most people are like, why is that? What is the aberration there? Well, compared to 60% during the bubble years of the mid-2000s. I mean, back then it was a 6% interest rate and you get a 2.5 on a 5-year or 7-year adjustable. It's like, okay, I'll take that. You know, it's not going to, how much worse going to get, but now nobody's taking it because you get rates of like 2.75 on a 15-year mortgage.
It's a good deal.
You know?
Yeah.
All right. So this I want to focus in on because I want to talk about, this is really important. The whole idea of, well, the Fed's going to start tapering, right? And that brings up like the idea, the Fed's going to end the quantitative easing program. They're going to stop buying bonds. Right now, they're doing $120 billion a month. And what's going to happen is liquidity is going to kind of be just sucked out of the markets and all that, right? They're going to, they're going, and This morning, the Fed chief, Powell's talked about it and all this. Well, we're going to start it, and it looks like we're probably going to bring it to a finish. The taper is going to come to a finish mid-2022. And every time I heard that, I'm like, wait a minute. They're buying $120 billion right now, and they're going to start the taper at the end of 2021, and they're going to finish it by, let's just say, June of 2022. That's a 6-7 month period to just abruptly end this taper or end the buying purchases, right? Doesn't that seem a little odd?
It doesn't sound right.
Let me tell you a different way to listen to the same story. We are going to begin our taper. What is a taper? It's just a slowing down of purchases, right? It's tapering. Going from something large to something smaller. It's a taper.
Sounds good.
We're going to be tapering and ending our taper mid-2022. The rest of the statement should be something like this. But we'll still be purchasing bonds. We may only be tapering $20 billion a month, and it will take us that long to get to that point. So they're going to end their taper. They're not ending their bond purchases.
That could be correct.
It has to be. There's no way they could just begin to slow down their bond purchases and just abruptly end. It's taken, you know, years to get rid of the other ones, and we did it like $10 billion a month. And by the time it was like down to like, I don't know, 60 or so, everybody was freaking out.
Huh. Yeah.
So this whole thing that it makes it look like they're being aggressive.
They're doing nothing.
And that's why the market's got it right, if that is the answer. That's why the markets are not freaking out, why interest rates are kind of like, they're moving up a little bit, but not that much. Because if they were to do something like that.
Good interpretation.
Yep. Facebook, I don't want to even talk about it. I'm not talking about it. Fed insiders, Elizabeth Warren, kvetching and complaining and whining as she always does. She urged the SEC to investigate whether three Federal Reserve leaders violated insider trading rules in 2020. We got Richard Clarida. We got SEC Robert Kaplan and Eric Rosengren. So they're all pissed off about all this. Now, two of them already decided to retire early. We have the Inspector General for the Fed now on the case, and Congress going to create all sorts of problems.
I'm sure they did. These guys aren't the kind of guys that are going to screw up. I'm sure it was all, I'm not on the up and up, but legal.
Right. They followed the rules, but right to the edge.
Yeah. They followed the rules. That's the key.
Right.
So you can't do anything about it.
Yeah.
It's just this is all showboating.
I agree.
And Elizabeth Warren is the worst. Whatever happened to Elizabeth Warren and her going to put a stop to the robocalls? This was years ago. She promised she was going to do something. She has done nothing. I still get 2 or 3 calls a day.
And not to pick on her wardrobe, but does she only wear blue outfits?
Well, she wants to make sure everyone knows she's a Democrat.
Oh, is that what it is? Oh, sure. I got you. What do we have to talk about here? We have taxis. You know, according to New York Taxi Workers Alliance, the average debt owed on medallions by taxi drivers is $600,000. $600,000. I never really understood how that worked. It looked like it was just
traded. That's how it worked. It's like Bitcoin. Right.
It was, but the problem was that as soon as a few things happened, but one of them being Uber, that just went to hell in a handbasket. Because now I could ride in a taxi without a medallion.
Yeah. I don't know how they got away with it.
Yeah. I'm feeling bad about this, but now what the problem is that Chuck Schumer and AOC and State Senator Jabari Bisport and State Assemblyman Zohran Mamdani want to restructure the debt of these parties that have the medallions. Now, how the hell is that fair?
That's not fair at all. They made their bed. They couldn't do anything about Uber, and now they're stuck.
I mean, if I open a restaurant on the corner of whatever, 5th and Main, and all of a sudden there's a massive, something that opens up that just steals my business, Does the government bail me out?
Well, they're not supposed to.
Yeah, but that's what this is.
Yeah.
You know, did the government bail out the buggy whip companies? I think not.
Not that I know of.
Not that you know. What are you eating?
I just took a drink of some liquid.
It sounds like a, some kind of a fruit of some sort.
No, that was tea.
Mm. Tariffs. U.S. Trade Representative Tai will declare Monday that an extensive review, and she did, found that China isn't meeting its commitments under the Phase One trade deal. I find this hysterical. Like, did we ever think that Phase One skinny crapola they're going to build factories, and they're going to buy so much corn and soybeans, more than ever, and the greatest deal ever put together. Do we ever think they were going to really do something?
No.
What a bag of crap this was. So now this is going to lay the groundwork for the Biden administration to now keep in place the Trump-era tariffs while considering even other punitive actions. Now, just help me with this. Refresh me. Do I recall somewhere in the campaign there was a big hoo-ha about the Trump tariffs on China, and we need to do something about those and all that, and the Democrats want to get rid of, right?
They ran on it.
That's what it was. That's correct. That's right. They ran on the fact that we were becoming too nationalistic and we wanted to go back to globalization.
Yeah, pretty much.
And now they're going to keep the tariffs on because the Phase One trade deal, which they didn't want. It's so stupid.
Well, you know, that's what you get when you, I'm not going to say that vote for Biden. That's what you get. I'm surprised that Biden didn't just kill it just out of spite, but they thought better of it.
Mm. And the final thing in this segment is an update on the Havana syndrome. Source has been identified. This Havana syndrome, which is, you get this nausea.
I don't know this.
You don't know. You don't know the Havana syndrome, what it is?
No, I know all that, but I don't know about the source being identified.
So the symptoms were pain and dizziness and nausea and reports of a high-pitched metallic sound.
Yeah.
Okay. The most likely culprit, the Indies short-tailed cricket. Now, for your listening pleasure, I am not going to play that in this podcast. It's on the show notes. Now, I don't know if you want to click that, John. And if that sound will come through, but I will tell you, it's a page of various MP3s of the Indies short-tailed cricket, which is some in South Florida as well. And I will tell you, no kidding, I played that. I don't know what was going on. It was not pleasant. Are you trying to click? Are you alive? What happened? Hello? What? I think we killed him. Oh. Where'd he go? John? What happened? Well, seriously, are you there?
I am here. I should be.
What happened? Did you pass out?
No, the my connection went out.
Oh, because right when I asked you to play it, we all thought you died or something.
I actually was looking for it. Oh, is this it here? Havana syndrome, but this little link?
Yeah, there's a link there. Oh, see if you can play that.
Let's see. Short tail crit. This is bull crap.
It is a very annoying and very brain fogging sound.
Yeah, I can hear it. Barely.
It's annoying, right?
It's like one of those things I think is designed to annoy teenagers, you know, whose ears are more acute.
Right, right.
It sounds like, you know, that there's a sound. I've never really heard it fully because I'm too old. But there are sounds that teenagers can hear. And they used to play these sounds out in front of stores. They didn't want teenagers to congregate. And anyone over 30 couldn't hear it. Remember that?
Yep, yep, yep.
Well, that's what this sounds
like. It's like a dog whistle. It's a teen whistle, though.
It's like a teen whistle, not a dog whistle.
Yeah. Quick announcement. We have a new Close to the Pin from.
And by the way, this is bull. They've pretty much convinced now it's microwaves targeting people. But.
Ow. I found this. Well, if it was a microwave, either way, the crickets are really annoying.
Yeah, well. Yeah, I would think. Anyway, go on.
Let me announce we have a new Close to the Pin, which is open for entries. Moderna. We never did this before. Moderna. mRNA is the symbol.
Oh, yeah. This is a good one because this looks like it's starting to go down finally.
Yep. So it came down about 100 points already in the last week or so. Yeah. And so we're going to, of course, winners will get great things like a new T-shirt designed by Jimbo, which is DH Unplugged, one and only. Also, I'm going to throw in through the end of the year, anybody that wins a copy of my book, The Disciplined Investor, Essential Strategies for Success, you'll get that. I'll even...
Another box of books from the publisher?
Yeah, I got stuff in the closet for years. It's just, you know, like, oh, I got one, two, I got like three boxes left. That's it. So I can always get more, I guess. But now it's everybody wants the Audible, so it's available on Audible.
But wait, you should sweeten the offer and make sure it's autographed.
Oh, I'll autograph it too. Yes. Yes, yes, yes. That's what we'll do that. This is a game that we play. It's not a solicitation to buy or sell any security. It's not a recommendation of any kind. Nothing on the show should be considered investment advice or a recommendation. If you choose to invest in any of the stocks mentioned, you should know that it may carry risk, along with the risk of a loss of principal. You should also seek out professional financial advice for your particular situation. We assume no risk as these are not to be considered recommendations. Horowitz Company, myself, or John C. Dvorak may invest in any of the securities mentioned and will disclose that on the website under the weekly stock picks section. You can go to dhunplugged.com and see all the names we discuss in the segment along with the performance information from the date discussed as well as any additional important disclosures. Now, there's one glaring thing on this. Let's see if you can pick it up.
Let's see. Glaring. Well, let's see. Your pro shares got kicked. What's glaring? Oh, my bank is almost passing your ventilator.
Correct. Exactly. Exactly. FVC Bank Corp up 96% since July 8th, a week after I picked Trane Technologies, which is up 98%, which I think was up like 105% or something.
It was way
like
up. No, I think it was closer to 114.
I have to look at that. And I didn't see it get kicked off yet, but it's getting close.
It's getting close.
Really close.
I noticed that my oil play, the ETF, is up immediately.
Yep, up 5.84.
So I expect that to play out. Just looking down here, there's no major changes.
No. I got kicked the natural gas short of the long triple, or the, I think it's
double. Yeah, that was a good idea.
It's up 13% today after being up 12% yesterday.
Yeah, you got kicked, so it's too bad.
Yeah.
You got gypped.
Yeah.
I have a couple.
All right, let me put a few rows in here. All right.
I want, it's just a charting action, some descending triangle action with I don't know. This may not be a great pick, but I don't see that it's going to collapse. Liberty Media Acquisition Corporation, LMACA.
LMACA. Oh, that didn't do it. Nope. LMACA. Let's see if it pops up. Liberty Media Acquisition. Yep, got it.
Okay, and the other one is, I got to find it.
That's descending triangle, that last one.
Can I get this thing to hold on a second? The other one is I had it and lost track of it. Hold on. I think it's this one. There it is. Whoops. Huh. No, that wasn't it. Hang on.
I'm holding.
Sorry.
Yep.
I just had it up on the screen and then the screen crapped out.
Oh, I'm so glad we had this time together. Just to sing a little song or two.
No, I'm not going to find it.
Nope.
I'm still looking. It was another one of these kinds of crazy looking charts.
This makes for great radio.
No, it's just fabulous, but...
great radio. Yeah.
Who knows?
Well, we're going to leave it to the unknown.
Yeah, I'll pick it up for next week. It's not going anywhere.
All right, we're
going
to leave that there. So it's 576. So 576 is in there. We're going to take this one. I'm going to take this out so we don't get confused of what it is. Delete. And then we'll insert. All right. Anything else in closing thoughts and discussions? Anything?
No, about just we'll talk next week before you take your trip to Egypt.
Yeah, if I go, because
no. Oh, you're gonna okay. Things are changing.
Well,
okay.
There's a all of a sudden there's new out of nowhere. You have to do more testing to get in.
Oh, brother.
Yeah, so we have to have the within 72 hours. Not a big deal, but it's just the only thing that I'm panicking about or having is this 9-hour plane ride, which I don't mind at all, especially, you know, sitting in a comfortable seat, but having to have this mask on. So what I did was, I will tell you what I did. I shopped around and looked for, hey, can I find some comfortable, like, cool masks? Not cool as in...
You have to wear a mask for 9 hours on the plane?
Except you could take it off when you're eating, but in between sips and bites, you have to put it back on.
Oh, see, that's why I'm not going anywhere until this thing is over.
Yeah, but I got an Under Armour makes a, and you know how Under Armour has really cool fabrics, right, and all that? Yeah. They have a mask, and it looks really comfortable. It'll be here next week.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, yeah, so that's what I'm getting. All right, I'll see you again next week.
Okay, talk to you then. Bye.
Bye.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, because I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pockets, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a man. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, cause I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.
Horowitz & Company, Inc. is registered as an investment advisor with the state of Florida, and conducts business in other states where it is properly registered or is excluded from registration requirements. Registration does not imply any level of skill or training.